Hello, this is Jaden Finder. We want to thank you for listening today. We would love to connect with you on social media. Now let's go into the live message.
Let's go to the Word of the Lord. Today, Pastor Brandon has already referenced as Pentecost Sunday. And Pentecost is a very important thing in the Word of God because the day of Pentecost is the birthday of the church. It's when the church began. It didn't begin in the Old Testament. It didn't begin in the ministry of Christ. It began on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter number 1 and 2. And so Pentecost is a wonderful experience. Most of you in this building have received it. It's been reported that 1 billion people have received the experience of Pentecost. Pentecost is not a denomination. It transcends all denominations. There are Catholics. There are Episcopalians. There are Methodists. There are Baptists. By the millions that have received this wonderful experience. One great Baptist pastor that pastored 6,000 Baptist people in Dallas back in the 80s, the Holy Spirit visited that Baptist church and they received the Holy Spirit by the thousands. And when they interviewed my friend, they said, "You used to be a Baptist. Are you still a Baptist? Are you a Pentecostal now?" He said, "No, I'm still Baptist, but God's Pentecostal." Which I thought was a pretty good answer for those news people that are always trying to just pick things, always trying to. Acts chapter 2, verse 1 through 4. "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." That is the birth of the New Testament church. I'm going to speak to you for a few moments on Pentecost, the crown jewel of promise. You may be seated. There are many promises in the Bible, and all of them good. But this is a special promise to the believers. When we talk about the crown jewels, it's the crown, the scepter, and other precious objects that a government has, which are used on important official occasions by the king or the queen. There is no more important occasion to the world than the birthday of the church. With all the things that are going on, it is still the church that is the salt. It is still the church that is light. It is still the church that is holding back the light. You think things are bad now, you wait until the church is gone. The church is God's bride. The church is God's representative in this world. The church is the body of Christ, the hands, the feet, the voice of Christ. And so he gave a special promise, and it started way over in the Old Testament in many occasions, that there was going to be such an occasion of this thing called the birthday of the church, the birth of the church, and it would be the advent of the Holy Spirit. The Bible said in Acts chapter 2, verses 12, 13, "And they were all amazed." This was when this phenomenon happened. "And they were all amazed." But I've never noticed till just this week the next three words, "and were in doubt, saying one to another, what meaneth this? Others mocking said, these men are full of new wine." When Peter and the other apostles and 120 people, including the mother of Jesus, Mary, came out of that upper room, they were so filled with God's Holy Spirit, it was evidence that something had happened to them. And people that did not know, that were ignorant of what had taken place and ignorant of the prophecies that God had placed that had just been fulfilled, the Bible said they began to mock them. And Peter began to quote Joel in the minor prophet in the Old Testament. And he said, "This is that was spoken by the prophet Joel." And so he was talking about way back, a couple of thousand years before, nearly. He said, "This is the fulfillment of this is that." And I would like to tell San Antonio and those that are watching and those that are here that is this. What we are experiencing today is the same thing that they received on the power of the Holy Spirit. And many churches have tried to distance themselves from Pentecost, which is a great error. We understand we need to discipline and distance ourselves from those people that are undereducated, well-meaning, misguided people in the Appalachian areas of this country that would handle snakes and drink poison under the name of Pentecost and cause people that are sincere to flee and say, we don't want anything to do with that. It's all right to run from those that are overzealous and undereducated into the place of heresy, but it's not all right to run from the upper room. It's not all right to shun the promise of God. It's not all right to take the thing that God says holy and disdain it. So what in the world is Pentecost? The Bible is replete with promise after promise, but none greater than the promise of Pentecost, that God will give believers the gift of the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost. Those terms are synonymous, the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost. That's Pentecost. The word Pentecost designates the 50th day after the Passover, which was a feast day, also known as the Feast of Weeks or the Feast of the Harvest. It was on this day in the book of Acts that the Holy Spirit was poured out on the followers of Christ who were gathered in that upper room in Jerusalem. It was on this day that the church was born in a blaze of glory. The average Christian does not comprehend that, even though a billion people are reported to have it, there are billions of people that call themselves Christians that do not understand the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. The average Christian and the average church are bogged down somewhere between Calvary and Pentecost. They have been to Calvary for pardon, but they have not been to Pentecost for power. Bethlehem means God with us. When Jesus Christ was born to this world, it means God came to us. Emmanuel, it means God with us. Bethlehem means God with us. Calvary means God for us. But Pentecost means God in us. What a phenomenon that the very literal power, the creator of the universe, would come to live in us. And the Bible is replete with mandate after mandate that it should happen, and it has happened. If that same spirit that dwell in Christ dwell in you, it will quicken your mortal body. And the Bible declares in one passage, it was the Holy Ghost that raised Christ from the dead. I believe that the average Christian today is much like the Ephesians believers in Acts chapter 19. The Bible said it this way in Acts 19:1. It came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and he found certain disciples. He found certain people that were turning to Christ. But he said unto them, he recognized that something was missing in their life. Friend, you might be a devout Christian that subscribes to the passages of the Bible, but if you have not received the power of the Holy Spirit in your life, something is gravely missing. I received the Lord when I was a 10-year-old boy in Murfreesboro, Illinois, but it was 3 years later that I was baptized in the power of the Holy Spirit. Both of those were significant experiences, but they were diverse experiences. They were different experiences. And there was something missing in my life until I was baptized with the Holy Spirit. And so when Paul found these believers, he recognized that something was missing in their life. And he began to question them, "Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe?" And they were like many believers today. They said, "We have not even heard so much as there be any Holy Ghost." And when he heard this, he questioned their water baptism. Do you see the significance that the Bible, that the Apostle Paul, that the Holy Spirit, the Word of God places on the baptism of the Holy Spirit and water baptism, and they are invariably linked in the Bible? And so when he realized that they had not yet received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, he inquired deeper about their water baptism. "What were you baptized?" They said, "We were baptized under John's baptism." He said, "John merely baptized under repentance, and he commanded them to be rebaptized, this time in the name of the one that had died for them, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ." And the Bible said it this way, "He laid his hands on them, and the Holy Ghost came upon them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied." What we need today in every church in America what we need in every church in the world. The plight of the world that is out of control can be traced back to the weakness and the dementia and the failure of the church. We have forgotten what God said. We suffer from spiritual dementia in the church. We need to go back and recall the promises of God and the commandments of the Lord. And so the problems of this world can be traced back to the church. What we need today, what we need again, is the power of Pentecost in every church. Be it Baptist, Methodist, Episcopalian, Catholic, everyone that names the name of Christ needs to go back to that upper room and experience that phenomenal experience where God's power comes inside of you. And you can say with the prophet, "Did it not burn inside of me? My bones are afire with the Holy Spirit." We need again the wind and the flame of Pentecost. Pentecost is not a denomination, but is an experience that every blood-bought child of God should receive today. The prophecy and promise of Jesus Christ concerning Pentecost were very real. Jesus said in Luke chapter 24, verse 49, "And behold, I send the promise of my Father unto you." This is Jesus talking. "And tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high." I think that would be the mandate of Christ today to every believer, that you tarry until you be endued with power from on high. It's not enough to have a dogma. It's not enough to have a doctrine. Those can be well placed and great. But the truth is, you need the power of the living God. Remember, it was the prophet that said, "It's not might, it's not power, but it's by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts." You can perform your catechisms and your teachings, but if people do not become endowed with the power of the living God, they will stay old men and old creatures. But the Bible said, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. What does that? It's not done from doctrines on the outside, but it's done from the Holy Spirit on the inside. And so the promise of Jesus Christ concerning Pentecost is real. He introduced the concept of the upper room when he told them to go, and they would find a man with a pitcher of water. He said, "Follow him, and he will take you to an upper room, and you will find that large upper room is furnished and prepared and made ready for us." Ladies and gentlemen, I tell you that there is a large and upper room that is furnished today for America and the world, and the purpose of that is that God has prepared all things. That regardless of your background, regardless of your denomination or your Christianity or the lack thereof, regardless of your bad habits, regardless of the chains of Satan, regardless of the attack of the enemy, there is a place prepared that if you will follow the water, and you will find out that God has an experience for you that will change you and transform you. Some young preacher asked me recently, what's your greatest criticism of the modern church? I said, it's nothing. It's not the dress style. It's not the music. It's none of those. The one great criticism I have is we are not preaching a real transformation. Friend, I'm going to tell you, if you get baptized in the Holy Ghost and fire, you will be such a changed person. Your spouse will know it. Your mother-in-law will know it. Your boss at work will know it. The power of the Holy Spirit is a tangible experience. It's not the product of one group of people. It's to whosoever believe. Jesus cried with a loud voice. I don't think Jesus was a raving lunatic. I don't think he screamed at every sermon. I don't think that he talked in such a way that was loud and unintelligible. But I do believe what the Bible said when it said, in the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried. This is something that excited Christ when he began to talk about leaving this world. But you're going to receive an experience that is going to be so phenomenal, so transforming. He stood and cried with a loud voice. He said in that last day, he that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, That's the phrase that changes people, as the Scripture has said. Do you believe that Jesus is the Jesus of the Scripture? Or is he the Jesus of the Methodist, the Baptist, the Pentecostal, the Presbyterian, the Catholic? We cannot relegate Christ to one denomination. He is the Lord of the world. You must believe on him as the Scripture has said. And what does the Scripture say about him? It says he's the Alpha and he's the Omega. It says he is the beginning and he is the ending. It says he is the first and he is the last. It said he is the root out of dry ground. It said he is the fountain of springing living water. It said he is the well. It said he is the waymaker. It said he is the bread of heaven. It says he is the bright and the morning star. It says he is the day star of the heart. He says he is your provider. He says he is your elder brother. He said he is your God. He said he is your friend that sticketh close than a brother. He said he is the door. He said he is the way. He said he is the image of the invisible God. He said in him dwell the fullness of the Godhead bodily. When you begin to think about Jesus Christ, if you think about him sincerely, if you think about him scripturally, if you're meditating on him long enough, there is a promise from the Word of God. You don't have to froth at the mouth. You don't have to wallow in an altar. You simply got to believe on Jesus as the Scripture has said. And he said, if you believe on me as the Scripture has said, something phenomenal is going to happen. You're going to experience what they received on the day of Pentecost. That same experience is going to be duplicated in you. For Jesus said, believe on me as the Scripture has said, and out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. This spake he of the Holy Ghost, for Jesus was not yet glorified. I love that last phrase, because Jesus was not yet glorified. You say, Pastor, I come here because of the music. I come here because of this or family, and I really don't have the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and I'd like to have it in my own way. Well, friend, I want to tell you, the Bible keeps the clue when Jesus said, believe on me as the Scripture has said. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. If you want to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, begin to glorify Jesus Christ. Praise him as your Savior. Praise him as your baptizer. Acknowledge him as the Almighty God. Acknowledge him as the Creator of the universe. Realize that he is the one when he wanted to establish his promise. And he said, I want somebody to swear by. And when I couldn't find anybody to swear by, I swore by myself. That's the God that I serve. He never leaves me. He never forsakes me. He is my comforter. He's with me in this pulpit. He'll be with me in my car this afternoon. He eats lunch with me. He stands guard at the foot of my bed. Praise God. I am in his hand and no man can pluck me out. Thank God. I will take him against all comers. I will take him against all that declare that they are something, because there's none like Jesus Christ. He's altogether lovely. He's wonderful. He's beautiful. He is a friend. He's the joy unspeakable. He's the river of life. He is my empowerment. I glorify him today. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can I tell you the story that I've told several times, 20 times maybe, in the last 44 years? But I was in a little church, and I was there under duress. I really didn't want to be there at that point in my time, in my life. I was preaching to thousands of people almost every night. But I found myself in a little church with about 40 people, and I didn't want to be there. But I got roped into it through a situation, and so there I was. And the Lord spoke to me. And he said, something phenomenal is going to happen to this church. And you have to realize how small the church was and how humble the church was and how dead the church was. But as I began to preach, the Spirit of God came alive in that little group of 40 or 50 people. And I noticed a woman sat in the back, and she obviously didn't fit, because this was a legalistic Pentecostal church. They didn't wear jewelry. They didn't have television. They didn't cut their hair. And I was just there under duress, just waiting to escape. Sometimes God puts you in the strangest places against your will to do the greatest things. Some of you are in place in your life right now, and you don't even know why you're there. But I'm going to tell you that God is getting ready to perform the greatest miracle in your life. And so this was just a little nowhere, and I shouldn't have been there according to my own thinking, but God had me there. And so when I got through preaching, I said, is there anyone that wants to receive the Holy Spirit? I never will forget this. Five adults walked up there, four men and this one little woman that obviously didn't fit. I found out later that Mabel Bell Scamper was an Episcopalian. She loved the Lord, but she was like the Ephesians believers. She had not so much heard, except she had just started watching Christian television, and that's the reason why she visited that church on that Sunday night. And when I laid my hands on the first man, he received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. When I laid it on the second man, he received the Holy Spirit. When I laid it on the fourth man, he received the Holy Spirit. And then I came to Mabel. She was actually on this end. She looked up to me and she said, Reverend, she said, I would like to receive the Holy Spirit with the experience of glossolalia. For those of you that do not mean glossolalia, simply means speaking with tongues. But she said, I'm an Episcopalian. I'm not a Pentecostal. And I don't want to act like some Pentecostals act. But she said, I've been watching on television. And this apparently is a gift that I don't have. And I would like to have it. Can I receive it now? And she was so prim and proper. She was elderly. But I thought she was ancient of days. She's probably about 5 years younger than I am now. But I was 20-some years old, so I thought she was old. She's probably about 65 years age. She had her hair dyed nice shade of blue, you know, short blue, a lot of jewelry, expensive clothes. And I reached out and put my hand on Mabel, and I was born in this thing. All of my life I've been in this, but I was not prepared for what happened to this dignified woman. When I laid my hands on her, she began to laugh uncontrollably. She threw her hands up, she slapped her legs, and she began to run around that building. And I was shocked. I was as shocked as she was, because it was simply the power of the Holy Spirit. Ladies and gentlemen, sometimes the Holy Spirit just does things in your flesh that you don't plan on doing. He just does it to break down every barrier. He does it to take you to a new place. He does it to take you to a new experience. He does it to make you more than a conqueror. He does it to make you more than an overcomer. There's somebody here. I'm nearly through. Praise God. Time is running out. And I have got just a few more things to say. I've got tons of things to say, but a few more that I'm going to say. But I want to tell somebody in this building right now, maybe it's just one, maybe it's a dozen, but there's somebody in this building right now that is about to have a breakthrough of Pentecost. And when you have this breakthrough of the Holy Ghost, it changes your life. It changes your family. It changes your money. It changes your thought process. It changes your attitude. It changes everything about you. As the Bible said, you'll hate the things you used to love, and you'll love the things you used to hate. And she run around that valley of that building just praising God. And she was saying, Pooji, 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 Pooji. I never will forget it. As she ran around that building, and finally she stopped and sat down in the back seat of that little building. And so the pastor said to me, is there any way we can have church tomorrow night? I was supposed to be in Fort Worth, Texas to preach to 2,000. Sometimes you got to cancel your plans. I said, yes, sir, I'll be right here tomorrow night. I called in Fort Worth, said, I won't be there. I'm preaching to 50 people in Illinois tonight. And so, praise God, when I walked out there in that building that night, it was a totally different place. There wasn't 50 people there. There was about 250 people, because one woman had caught on fire. She was an influential little woman. She was so filled with the Holy Spirit. She lived with a man. She was a devout Episcopalian that loved the Lord. She lived with a man that was not a Christian and was an alcoholic. And they had to literally take her home. She couldn't drive her car. She was so filled with the Holy Spirit. Do you know the Bible teaches us when this phenomenon happened in the Bible that they thought they were drunk? Do you understand the Holy Spirit is compared with wine throughout the Bible? What are the benefits of wine? It makes you happy. It makes you forget your problems. It causes you to lose your inhibition. Well, friend, this is the wine without any of the side effects. You'll be happier than you've ever been. You'll lose all of your inhibitions. You'll have joy. You'll want to sing. You'll want to dance. You'll want to be everybody's best buddy. And praise God, that's the way Mabel was when they took her home. Her husband is there, and he was drunk again. And when they set her inside that house, they partied all night long. When she came back the next night, she brought Hank. That was her husband with her, and he received the Holy Spirit. And when I preached that night, about 25 or 30 people were filled with the Holy Spirit. I preached there night after night. We literally revolutionized that little Catholic town because of the power of the Holy Spirit. Ladies and gentlemen, I tell you that America is ripe for revival. It's ripe for the wind of Pentecost. It is ripe for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And it's what we need more than anything else. If you've been here for 44 years, you know I do not engage in politics. I don't declare for a candidate. Vote for whoever you're going to. Make your own mistake. Because I've got one thing in mind, and that is to see every knee bow to Christ, every tongue confess to the Lord, every empty vessel to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We've got a mess on our southern border. I don't have a political view on that. You're not going to hear me telling you what to do, but I'll tell you this. My friend that lives down in Kennedy, where we own property, is a policeman, and he's over thousands of people that are coming there as illegal immigrants. And he said, Pastor, do you realize that about 80% of these illegal immigrants are Pentecostals? He said, I don't mean the Pentecost, they're charismatics. He said, they're old-fashioned Pentecostals. And he said, it's my job to have chapel for them. He said, sometimes I'll have as many as 1,000 people. And he said, we don't have normal Christian church. We have upper room church with those illegal immigrants. He said, we sing, we shout, they speak with tongues, we heal the sick. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know what God's doing. That's the reason why I can't tell you who to vote for. I don't know what God's doing with the White House. I don't know what God is doing with the border, but this one thing I know what he's doing with the church. He said, I will have a church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And Joel's prophecy said, in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. You want to give up? I can't give up. If I look to the White House and the State House, if I look to the Republican Party or the Democratic Party, I'd throw up my hands and say it's over. But praise God, look away, look away, look to that hill called Calvary, look to that upper room, look to that place called Jerusalem, and say it ain't over till God says it's over. And God said it's not over yet. In the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. My young men shall have visions, my old men shall dream dreams, my handmaids will prophesy. There's a new day coming, ladies and gentlemen. It's not going to be a dead religion. It's going to be a joyful religion. People are going to be as ecstatic as if they were high. Praise God. As if they were drunk. What are the benefits of the Holy Spirit? It's joy unspeakable, full of glory. You will love those that you used to hate. The Bible said the love of God shed abroad by the Holy Ghost. Ladies and gentlemen, hatred is running to the horse's bridle in the streets of America today. But one douse of the Holy Ghost can cause the ebb of that hatred to flow back out to the sea, where we are one nation again. When they were in one accord, in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven a sound as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. Ladies and gentlemen, I feel like Ezekiel in a boneyard. I see the wind coming down the valley. It's going to blow again. It's going to blow again. This building will be too small. Cornerstone will be too small. They're going to be too small all over San Antonio and throughout America. Austin, Santa, and America's most unchurched city is going to have a revival. I prophesy that because my prophecy is based on what Joel said. It's going to happen, ladies and gentlemen. Get ready. He said it's going to be a day of joy. It's going to be a day of healing. It's going to be a day of restoration. It's going to be like it was on the birthday of the church. Would you stand and lift your hands right now and begin to give God some glory and praise? Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. My first year in San Antonio, I preached where I could with not much of a building. I preached on the Riverwalk, and I never will forget being there, the theater, and preaching across the San Antonio River. And the crowd, there's no, if you know or are familiar with the theater there, there's no room, but they're just there at the theater, and so they stood across. And as I preached in those first few months of being in San Antonio without a permit, I just took it over. It was empty, and I preached. And I watched the crowd begin to gather. And they jeered and they mocked all the elements of Pentecost. And some mocked. And some said, these men are full of wine. But as I preached that day, that night, at the Arneson River Theater, I saw the power of God come on that river walk. And I looked across the theater. I turned it to a young guy helping me. And I walked across that bridge, across that river. And I saw a man standing there with a drink in his hands. And back in those days, people were still dressed really well. He had on a beautiful suit. I said, sir. He said, I never saw anything like this. He said, I'm a lawyer from Columbus, Ohio. Would you preach for me? Would you pray for me, rather? When I reached out to touch him, he dropped the glass. It shattered on the river walk. He lifted his hands, and God baptized him with the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. I've seen some great things, but the best are yet to come. When my friend Elizabeth stumbled into the little church on Ridgewood, she was in her 20s, a beautiful Hispanic lady. She was there because she was so depressed. Her life was coming apart. She didn't know anything. She'd never been in a Protestant church in her life. And that very first night on a Wednesday night, less than 50 people there, she hit that altar and God baptized her with the Holy Spirit. Oh, what an experience to see that happen in those early days. And then see her to go home and her mama said, Elizabeth, I disown you. You were baptized in the Catholic Church right down here in such and such parish. And I want you to get out of the house. After a few days, she relented and she said, Elizabeth, I'll let you move in on one condition. You can come back if you'll go with me to see the Father down at the parish. She said, I'll go, Mama. So her mother took her down there to where her father, he was deceased, had been a member all of his life. Her mother had been there. Elizabeth had been baptized there. And she said, Father, she's got into a cult. She's speaking in those tongues, Father. And he said, oh, I'm so sorry. Would you have a seat right here? He said, Elizabeth, come with me in the office. Went in the office, sat down. He said, Elizabeth, what's happened? She said, Father, I don't know much about the Bible. It's just been a few days, but I went down to this little church on Ridgewood Street. And she said, I was so depressed, thinking about taking my own life. And she said, something happened to me, Father. She said, I received such love, such joy, such power. And said, that preacher laid his hands on me, and I spoke in that heavenly language, Father. He said, Elizabeth, I've always wondered about that. Would you come around the desk and lay your hands on me? So there she was, laying her hands on the priest that had been her priest most of her life. And God gloriously filled him with the Holy Ghost in that parish office. Friend, don't build up resentment. Don't have bias against the things of God. This doesn't belong to one group, one race, one denomination. This is of God. And every person needs to be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. If you're in this room right now and you've never been filled with the Holy Spirit, or if the Holy Spirit has become very dormant in your life And the Bible gives us a foundation for that doctrine, that it will become dormant. And Paul would say, stir up the gift that is within you. Stir it up. Praise God. If you don't have the baptism of the Holy Spirit, would you come and let me lay hands on you and pray with you that you would receive it today?